embodied. Weil Gott mehr mit deinen Zehen zu tun hat, als du denkst. RevLab.
He is one of the big names in the movement world. Internationally renowned, a faculty member of the Californian Esalen Institute, and through real curious circumstances, a good friend of mine. Vincent Martinez Grieco, previously called Vin Arjuna Marti, teaching dance for about 50 years now. He's the founder of Soul Motion, a unique conscious dance method now taught by his former students. Vincent himself was drawn to continue his exploration of deeply embodied conversations with God, his words, not mine, in a quieter way with what he calls Vincent's next steps. We had the opportunity to speak about insights of 50 years of dancing and teaching, what it is to dance online, and why this practice is a kind of a 24/7 thing.
Since we both don't know.
Yeah, you could start with it not knowing, and I'll do my best. What is it?
I guess one way to start is, what insights are showing up these days in your movement practice?
That's a perfect beginning for what's happening when I go to the dance room, whether it's up here in my studio, in my room that I consider my studio, and I teach to one person from Norway, as I did yesterday, or I go into the studio here in Portland and teach to 24 people. I feel the importance of the dancing. For myself, for my own personal extension and knowing of myself through dancing, so it's more clear to me today than ever as a teacher that I'm not drawing on anything much other than what I'm learning about myself, and that seems to bring a little more intimacy and exposure with my students, because I'm not as I don't care about being curated. Anna used that word in regards to that. I love it. Anna. So that insight of I can go and really sit or spin at a center that, like centrifugal force spinning, that I can draw on all the learnings that are happening for me, and it's coming through, it's coming in and shooting out the other side. So that insight has been huge. Terrific.
When you say, as a teacher, all you can, I don't know if I'm paraphrasing this right, just correct me if I'm wrong, all you can kind of rely on is what you are discovering and learning in your own practice. And hearing that from someone who's been dancing and teaching and moving for decades.
Four and a half, I think. Almost five.
It's like clearly you're a master, and there's just no end to this learning.
There you go. Isn't that true? That's right. And that's how it feels. There's, I'm just beginning. I've never felt better. And I'm excited about what's being shown to me. Regarding how to utilize my thoughts and my breathing, for instance, how to utilize coming to a still place in the midst of wildness, for instance, how to establish a somatic speaking with the dancers so that we're both on the same page, because we've created a commitment to be here for the self and for the cohort, for the community. Not so much that I have to be up close and personal with anyone physically, but psychically and mentally and energetically, yeah, you bet. And so it's funny because I'm dancing both with myself in a room with screen and other dances. On Wednesday and Friday, I have a class on mine I love called, I call it Origins, because I want to get back to the original understanding of where my breath comes from and how does it travel and where do my movements come from and how does it travel and where do my thoughts come from and how does it travel and how the three of them can dance together. So I have these two radical environments, and yet in both I still maintain a high degree of alertness in both interior and exterior. So that's just so thrilling to, and you know, my body's different now, right? I mean, I'm in my mid-70s, and so I dance differently, and I track differently, and yet, you know, any of the different aches or tightnesses I feel in my everyday, they're gone once I get into my practice, because it's the practice and the discipline and the showing up and repetition that creates the exposure and excitement of what's being moved through me. And so that's been very key, like, you know, and even the one student was such a wonderful duet we had. You know, she was in Norway, I'm in Portland, Oregon. Just, you know, after some initial, you know, internal work together, and we can still feel an exchange. It's not, it's not as cold as I used to think it would be. Yeah, you understand.
Yeah, and I love how you're bringing this up, because when you mention to someone, dancing online together or doing yoga online together or energy work online, they're like, no, that doesn't work. And I love how you're just describing it so clearly, that it's not about being in the same room. It's about the connection that isn't, yeah.
Right. But
tell me
right.
How your experience is with it.
Right, and they're both a little different, obviously, because being in the room, but in some ways they're very much the same.
Yeah.
The process that, you know, the discipline I'm going through, knowing there's another person who's doing the same practice, that creates bonds. That creates a bond. So I'm learning about all of that. And yeah, and it's exciting because, you know, in one respect, you know, my teaching, it's you know, I've come from a certain position. I still have that in Europe. When I go to Europe, there are people who want to learn and they come and hang out. Here, my online is really changing. But I understand that, and it doesn't really affect me at all in any kind of negative mode. I feel such great wealth and being with my students, especially the ones on Wednesday and Friday in the, what we do a 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. in the USA West Coast. It's evening in Europe. And I just feel like there's about seven regulars, and then sometimes maybe there'll be 14, 12, 10, but seven women. I just dance with women, my teachers, right? My sisters. And it's like being with colleagues. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. I get to come in and say, you know, this is what's happening this morning, and I want to tie it into our practice. What do you think? And then we just spend time listening to each other and people, you know, speak or don't speak, or they write later, we write to each other, but I send them the video, you know, at the end, they get it to practice, and there's opportunities for them to see themselves alone, because I'll spotlight them during one of the teachings. And so that when they can study that, if they, if they find value in that. But it's just so much, so much heart and less presenting, more presence and less presenting for me, you know.
I like that. I like that. Yeah. It sounds like it hasn't always been like
that. No, of course not. That's not,
I don't know.
No, I come up in a rough and tumble world, you know, pre Me Too movement and pre-racial understanding awakening movement, pre-understanding of so many, the state of the world and the energetic level of the world community and what's happening there, and you know, all the feeling of COVID. You know, it's a very different world than when I came into dancing. And you know, truth be told, I in some ways I was like a boy in a candy store. I wanted everything and everyone for my favor and taste, and I erred in some areas as well, and showed aggression, and which I'm, you know, deeply regretful, and have taken and continue to take steps to educate myself. So yeah, I would present them, even though the teachings were good and true. They've always been good and true. The vessel that the teachings was coming through at times had some spoiled moments, you know. So yeah, it's a very different field today, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for it, and that I'm keep learning about unity and unselfconsciousness and directness, you know, all of which are so important in the dance room.
Do you mind sharing a little bit about how you came to dance? Like, how did dance and the teaching that has always been good, as you were saying, how did that enter your life? Did you just wake up one day and knew, okay, this is it, this is where I'm going, or?
Well, I think I've always been, okay, you know, here's the truth, right? I've always been connected or comfortable with extraordinary communications as a little person. And the way I showed that was, what was set up for me was a communication with God as a small boy in the Catholic Church serving Mass. And so I always entertained that easily, you know, this kind of communication and this listening and body. And I came in probably from work before, but I came in pretty highly sensitized to soma, to proprioceptive, you know, where I am in space. I mean, pretty high, even as a little boy, and I knew that by playing baseball and tracking objects. So that was there. That was set. So I loved the idea of how this body would move and how I was aware of my movement, and I was very predisposed and comfortable with, how can you say, speaking, knowing that there's more going on here, or wanting to know, hoping there is, hoping there's more going on. So that was, you know, I was set, really, to go on and then just, you know, I did a dance class as a young adult and started practicing yoga as a young adult. This is probably, you know, in the 80s, in the 70s and 80s. And, you know, so I started dancing, training in ballet and modern art as I was training in yoga. That was very unusual in that day. So I brought all of that to the dance. And so right from the beginning, I was dancing to more than just the beat of the music. As I got to practice more, I started talking to people more about what this is, what's happening in me. Is this, you know, happening for you, or do you want to try this? Or, and mostly I'm understood. So mostly I'm understood, which is great, you know, and that fueled the approach that even if I was, you know, dancing in a dance company or dancing with Gabrielle Roth or dancing with other teachers, Barbara Dilley in Europa with her contemplative dancing practice, no matter what a form I was doing, I brought this understanding to my dance about space and the aliveness of space and the volume, the breath is a volume that kind of shifts things internally, and that's my dancing begins there. And you know, all those having real eyes so that I'm finding that as I'm moving, my eyes are actually moving with me. You know, all these ways of tweaking what a dancer does, you know, was like, just like, I loved finding out, and I still do finding out.
And hearing you, of course, it's such an embodied experience over there. It's so fascinating. It's like, yes, 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 yes. Real eyes, the breath.
Yes.
And it makes me want to dance.
Okay, maybe I can name a course that way. You know, come and dance with me. What's the name of your shop? Real Eyes and the Breath. That's what we'll practice.
Hey, yeah. I mean, when it's not just this, I mean, embodiment is such a widely used term these days.
Yeah, it's having its moment for sure.
Yeah, when it's real. And in a way, yeah, I guess like you can call it when it's real, there's such a sacred or holy quality to it. And when you say you've always had this conversation with God, is dancing that for you?
That's beautiful. Yeah, that says it. What do you say after that? Dancing is a conversation with God, or if God's, you know, freaks you out, dancing is a conversation with reality, with self, with nature. Yeah, for sure. You know, for sure. There's so much that I learned from my own sitting practice in meditation that bring that. There's a quality there that I keep striving. Yeah, there's ardent fervor, and there's discipline that, you know, that I want to sum it up when I'm in dancing, when I'm dancing. There's a quality that's from the inside. I think of it as I mentioned, a volume, organs and limbs, and yes. And the volume, the spaciousness, the carrier of the electric currents, and the carrier of blood, and the carrier of the sensitivity to pranic energy. You know, its most base manifestation is the breath. And so there's, you know, utilizing that in a very relaxed, calm way, but getting to understand the origin of my breath. That's what I want. I want to understand where it's coming from, and where does it end, and where does this come from? And I utilize that within, right, as a way of, you know, sometimes I think of it as like going down the arm, squeezing and releasing, you know, my hand on the arm, going down, and that kind of, that would set up a ripple of, a wave, like that's there. That's more than just a concept. So it's that, like for instance, that song, that current, I'm in training to bring that more alive, so that the dancing becomes more than just a block moving in space, which I understand, and more than just a wave. There's volumes being opened and extended and closed in so many various energies and topography, you know, different landscapes and speed. And to sit figuratively saying, to sit in the center of that, to be in the space of the center of that. That's what I'm asking myself those questions all the time. In the dance for sure, and certainly outside the dance. Yeah, there's a rhythm that we're all dancing and moving to, and I'm really excited about getting into that rhythm.
How is it for you, or what do you experience when you do sit in the center of? I don't know what to reference it to, you know?
Yeah. It's like the awareness of what I would say about myself, like I would point to myself, that awareness is, okay, it's like this. Chogyam Trungpa used this from Naropa Institute, a headman teacher. Another one whose teachings were blissful and the container was a little marred as well. But he said he was an artist also and worked a lot with art and Dharma art. And for any artist out there, read what he has to say about things. He described, and I've used since with lots of love and gratitude, he described that arena of meditation where you're aware of what's happening inside the interior, and at the same time your presence doesn't stop at the skin, right? Your sense of self doesn't stop at the skin. It's out here, you know. Some traditions say nine fingers out is still you, still considered you on that space around you. And he described it as carrying a spoon of water filled to the brim, carrying that at your heart. At the same time, you're wearing a wild costume, you know, which to me suggests, and I always see the costume as a clown costume, which to me suggests the perfect visual for the dance, that to be, you know, in the external world, receiving, listening, sending, giving, noticing, being taken, taking, and at the same time, you're moving as if you're holding, your awareness is such that you're moving as if you're holding a very, very delicate object of water that you want to contain. That's perfect. That's what it's like. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Isn't that lovely? He really encapsulated it, and it's really spoke truth to me, and to practice this is very helpful to know that. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing I bring into my students to investigate with me, right? As practice, as a process, as a form. And the ones who come love it.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I keep discovering how, like, this, what you were describing, yeah, the word you mentioned at the beginning, intimacy, it's both the most beautiful ever and the most terrifying thing ever. I guess first of all, it takes a lot of courage from your side to be wearing the clown costume and carrying the spoon,
the holy water. Yeah.
And then as a teacher, I mean, it's so challenging, I guess, sometimes to invite people to allow for that experience. Yeah, it's so.
It's intimate. It's very intimate and very exposing. And it takes time, and the students I have on the line, some of them have been with me 3 years, 2 years, some I've known for 10 years, but this work is, this version is rather newish for me, or the way it's showing up. But it takes time together, and takes experience, and I just am so in awe of watching them, how they moved even a year ago, 18 months ago, and watching these women move today. Most of them are, you know, they're 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, wide range, and therapists, dance teachers, you know, teachers, yogis, and to watch and to be a part of that, just to be a part of seeing how they view their body now and how they view moving areas that were frozen. And yeah, it does take that time in, you know, like a kind of commitment, a dedication to yourself and discipline, you know, because it's a practice. I was reading it somewhere about in the Yoga Sutras about, you know, any technique for transformation requires a practice, and the practice requires discipline, and the discipline, you know, is, you know, it needs to be presented in a structured, clear way, simple way. But if you're wanting to transform anything, those have to happen. Those who get it really enjoy it, and come and we go to it, you know, as well as those who just come by for a couple, you know, just for some sips. And that's great too. I mean, it's great because the atmosphere can be set up so that, especially in person, like on Saturday, or going to Prague and to Hamburg last year, and watching the people develop over the 5 days, was still, you can see, you really, and they talk about it, that things shifted about how they saw themselves in a dance room dancing with others. It was beautiful.
Are you witnessing how layers come off?
Yeah, that's right. I was thinking veils. Yeah, when you're doing this, exactly. They're veils of, you know, caution about being with someone else, or their desire to be foolish, or to be by themselves, you know, because it's really a very open atmosphere. Permission is granted so much for you to have your experience. And keep calling you back to that. And there's such wide parameters to what that can be. I mean, it's so that if you're just coming in and you're coming in with a lot of negative or fearful or disruptive thoughts about yourself and about being the right body type or the right age or the right size or not knowing what to do, I'd like to think you're giving such a wide frame that you're going to be okay. And if you're willing to practice with me, you're going to be okay, because what I'm going to offer you is very approachable. You know, I might offer, you know, learn how to be in a on the ground, just on the ground in a, what we used to do, many techniques, right? You do a body scan. But to do one that's in motion, like learning how to do that one that's in motion, and that you begin to understand the circular or the tubular, the tube dimensions of movement rather than I'm walking forward, you know. And the ground is a great place to do that. So that's just a for instance.
The depth that reaches is, who knows?
Yeah,
you can go as deep as you want or not.
It's what you bring. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I love how you mention discipline and that it does take dedication for things to transform. And maybe you can speak for yourself, but also for your students. What kind of quality does that discipline have?
It's non-aggressive, and it's unself-conscious, and so I might, you know, like offer suggestions for when they're out of the room, because if it's going to be a practice, sometimes I joke with them and say, you know, if you're going to study with me, you know, this is, you're signing up for 24/7. You may want to leave now, but if you really want to work with me, it's a 24/7 deal, and you're going to create rules in your family life. And but I would, you know, suggest things for my students to do when they're not in the room, when they're home, when they're sitting, ways of sitting, and, you know, simple repetitive processes to, you know, get even for a moment, you know, to get to a place where I understand my sit bones, or I understand the standing, and I understand because I'm cradling the water, but at the same time I got this costume on and I'm out in the world. So I would give them things to play with on that very simple things, you know, while they're standing at a sink or sitting in a chair, and not just visualization, but physicalization as well. So it's not just to visualize, but you know, I want to keep practicing how I can hear the pulsation that's happening, hear all the excitement that's going on in my body. Because it's alive, so it's alive. There's a lot of explosions and things going on. There's a rhythm, rhythms, rhythms, rhythms. And so at the same time I'm doing that, I'm also out there washing dishes and having a conversation with Anna and friends, you know. So that's my dream state.
It's a 24/7 thing. It is. I mean, it is.
It can be. Well, it can be, obviously, yeah. And it doesn't have to be intense for 24/7. It could be, you know, you could be more costume and less water. You can, you know, so, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a continuum. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the good thing is you don't have to do it. It's there.
It's there.
Awareness is there and you don't have to do the awareness. So it's not really, sometimes I'm in workshops or I work with people and then they say stuff like, oh, I'm so tired, like being aware is so, it's so exhausting. Like, well, yeah. When you say this,
yeah.
My dear,
yeah.
The thinking about awareness is what's making it tiresome.
Yeah. Right, this is true.
So
yeah, I know that one. I can exhaust myself with the best of them.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in all this listening to the body, listening to life, to God, to this moment.
To each other. That's a big one. With compassion and friendliness and open-heartedness.
Yeah, all of us, not just some of them, all of them. There's a lot going on. And
yeah, there's a lot going on.
How, like that level of sensitivity, you mentioned you already came in with very high sensitivity. And it's, I guess it's not, I almost want to say it gets worse.
Well, it can. Yeah, it's easy to summon the shadow. And I've done that for periods of my life where the shadow of all of that is just like total isolation and, you know, just kind of like not there for anyone. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, because I'm taking care of my sensitivity, you know, and that can, and that has been a cause of great disturbance for myself and the others. And so, yeah, there's always that, you know, you still have to go out and fart around and throw a frisbee or run through the water and just, you know, get muddy and or climb mountains and exhaust yourself, you know, just to do it, you know. So yeah, like everything, you got to continue to be discerning. The thing that I love most and continue to love is when I'm feeling tuned in with my eyes are alive and I'm seeing and all of that and experiencing the sensitivity of the body and the music and the other, say I'm in the room with others. And it's just jump in and let go, you know, jump in and let go and trust all your practices. I tell my students when they come in, if bring your techniques, whatever they are, yoga, martial arts, jazz dancing, this dancing, you know, bring them in because that's just the beginning of your experience, your somatic experience. Don't throw that away. You know, go let it come from there. This interior layer that I'm talking about, or this extra layer, because once I am unselfconscious and feeling non-aggressive and experiencing just kind of friendliness and excitement about creativity and creating, because even as I'm part of the creation, I'm also creating. It's like I'm both are happening. What a thrill that is, right? You know, and others are doing that in the room, and it's worth it all. You know, I've never felt better. It helps me. So I try to create even at my age and what I'm doing. I try to keep creating practices. So who cares if there's one person on Sunday morning, my time? I'm going to go in the practice with them and see what we have here and what we're going to make. And that kind of attitude is really redefining what is successful. You know, was it a successful class? Yeah. How many students? Usually it's how many students did you have? I used to do that. That's how I gauged what was working. Oh, nobody came. Must be me.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and I mean, you used to work with, I don't know, hundreds, thousands of people.
Yeah, and I've been around and trained people, and there's people teaching soul motion, and yeah, I was, I'm still looked on as a kind of grandfather figure, and my colleagues still reach out, but you know, I think a friend pointed out, you know, just, and we all know this, you know, this is the signature, this is what I do, this is the artistry that I've been asked to do, be in, so I'm going to keep making art, creating, it's to dance, it's dancing, so I'm not going to stop doing that, you know. Mm-mm. So I'm grateful this one person showed up on Sunday, said, let's go to it.
It sounds like a lot of unlearning, though, I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
Well, it's like everything, right? You know, if I'm holding on to principles that, you know, which I have, I hold on to principles and karmic tendencies, then I'm stopping life, I'm stopping creation. Whether, you know, so yeah, everything's got to go unlearned. Everything's got to go. And from what I understand, there's much more. I do resonate with that teaching, right? Like, okay, my attitudes about teaching to one person has to go if I truly want transformation. Be in my practice, be in my discipline. Stay in this joyful place. Enjoy each dance that's been being presented to me. So yeah, that's okay. And plus I'm letting go of range and motion and my height, well, how high I can jump. But I'm still jumping. That's the deal. It's not like I've given up jumping, you know.
No. It sounds like you're having a lot of fun with all this.
I'm having a lot of fun. You really got it. It's true.
There's no frustration? Like you're...
Well,
you're
I'm
done
a little,
with frustration?
No, I'm a little, no, I'm not done, but I just don't see it as a first responder to things. It doesn't have to be the first responder, because whatever is happening, I know there's the view, it's what, how I'm viewing it. So, but when it comes to the dancing, I just feel so blessed, and to the teaching that I continue to have opportunities to be the kind of teacher that I know I can be. Safe, unassuming, friendly. Anybody and everyone can come into experience what they're experiencing. When you move the body, everything shows up.
Yeah.
And I get another opportunity to be that person. So I'm having fun, yeah. I am. I just have to say I'm having fun. And I laugh a lot in my classes, even if I'm the only one laughing.
Yeah, because it's not about the response you get or
no, right?
Like, I'm having fun, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do absolutely want to continue to create in our dancing together, an atmosphere that is generous.
Yeah.
That's what we go for, generosity and safety. Of course, we'll come after that, and, you know, of fulfillment and edginess, all of that, but to keep experiencing this sense of being generous in my movement, being generous in my mental attitude, and also receiving, because you know others are being generous. So I also want to find a place where I can receive that, not just I'm giving. No, what are you? You know, are you here? Are you seeing them? You're just so busy giving. So if we can maintain that kind of a vibe, now we're good. We're gonna be okay in the room, but that can be difficult.
Sure. Again, because of the stuff we learned, right? Like a good teacher or a good yogi is the person who gives. And I don't know. Yeah, like being in service, what does that actually mean? Does it mean that I have to exhaust myself?
Not? If it's true service, right. If it's true service, got you coming from your heart and your motivations are so clear that there's no attachment or outcome, there's no way that service would, you know, exhaust you or frustrate you, right? But that's, I'm working with that, being more friendly to everyone. My teacher talks about loving everyone. I'm just working on trying to be friendly to him. I'm still at the being friendly stage, you know. I know that love will show up if I keep being friendly.
You know, sometimes for me, it feels like it's easier to love everyone than to be friendly with everyone. Because I can love them, but I can.
Well, there you go.
Thank you. This is enjoyable. This is
pleasure.
Great.
Good to see you and to see your in your work mode and to be with you. Yeah, just to see you. Participate
with you in your own curiosity, in your own mind. Vincent Martinez Grieco was that in this very first episode of Wholly Embodied in an all new and fresh year. Thank you for listening. We will be back in 2 weeks. Dann wieder auf Deutsch. RevLab.